The biggest mistake your dead mate made was taking your love for granted. This is your second chance to be with someone who gets you. I looked down at the ground. I'll break her. She's a vampire. She can lift a car off a tree. I think she'll be okay. Hope winked, then patted me on the back and walked off. I lay back against the bed and sighed. Little did Hope know, I was way heavier than a car. I smiled.
Chapter 20. Serenity. There was no reason for my hands to be shaking, but they were. The warm cookies were barely staying stacked on the plate. It was dark. And I'd just seen Genesis get in a car with the twins and Ethan and just leave. They had bags as if they were moving, but this was Ethan's house. My confusion only mounted when Cassius had whispered something to Alex that had him grabbing Hope by the arm the minute she'd reached the bottom of the stairs and pulling her toward the garage. "Everything okay?" I'd asked Stephanie. She'd only shrugged and had given me a funny look. Cassia swept back into the room. "Remember what I said." And that was it. The house was dark. And I was holding a stupid plate of cookies as if that was going to calm the beast in the upstairs bedroom. As if that was going to make him want me. If your own parents don't love you enough to stay, what makes you think that a plate of cookies is going to help an immortal king want to mate you? That was the question I asked after every step. After each breath. What makes you so different? Nothing. Nothing at all. Insecurity had a way of seeping into every crevice of my brain, making it impossible for me to come up with a scenario that had Mason choosing me. Choosing us. He barely knew me. But his blood. I briefly closed my eyes. That wolf was made for me in ways I couldn't even begin to comprehend. Just thinking about him had my teeth aching, my body craving more. I'd felt sick ever since the grocery store, and now I just wanted relief. Relief only he could bring. Mason. The door was open. I quietly walked in. Moonlight shone through the open window as cool night air filled the empty space between me and his massive body. His breathing was slow. His naked chest rose and fell with an easy cadence that immediately calmed me down. I took a deep breath and then approached. I didn't even have time to speak before his hand snaked out and gripped my free hand. "What?" He leaned up on his elbow. "Is that smell?" I cleared my throat. "Cookies?" "Cookies." His icy gaze locked on me. "Chocolate chip cookies?" I couldn't tear my eyes away from his, from the way they penetrated every defense without asking permission to do so. His eyes stripped me bare without a thought. I let them. My body heated. He dropped my hand and reached for a cookie.
"I haven't had a cookie in...
years?" I offered. His mouth curved into a sultry smile.
"Hundreds."
"That's some hardcore self-control," I joked. His smile was tense. The room swirled. It pulsed with electricity, with blood that pounded my body, begging for release, begging to be joined with his. White teeth bit into the cookie slowly. My eyes followed as his tongue snaked out and licked a bit of chocolate that had the honor of grazing his perfect, plump lower lip. My mouth buzzed with jealousy. I would probably slit someone's throat to be that piece of chocolate. Mason closed his eyes and let out a guttural groan before reaching for another cookie, repeating the process. While I died a thousand deaths imagining those teeth biting into my soft flesh, licking me dry. He reached for another, and another. The plate was empty. Mason popped one final piece in his mouth, then slowly sucked each finger dry. A piece of chocolate was on the corner of his mouth. The temptation was too much. Without asking permission, I leaned forward and swiped my tongue across the spot, tasting him, tasting the chocolate. He stilled. I whispered against his mouth, "Did you want milk?" His hands gripped my waist. It was a heartbeat, the second of indecision on his face warring with his duty, with his self-control. And just like that, I saw him finally give in, finally just combust.
I have a better idea,
he growled. Thank God. My jeans scratched my skin as he roughly shoved them down to my ankles, like going slow was never a first option. Only one speed, one way to claim. My heart raced as his rough hands ran down my bare legs. I stepped out of the jeans and kicked them to the side. His mouth pressed a kiss to my thigh. His hands dug into my skin as if he was afraid I was going to run away.
I won't know how to stop,
he said in a gruff, animalistic voice I recognized as his wolf, the animal inside him. It didn't terrify me. It made me crave. Then don't, I encouraged, as he picked me up and threw me against the bed as if I weighed a pound, when I knew vampires weren't known for being light or easy to throw. I was a feather, putty in his hands. He grinned down at me, and then started a full-on assault with his mouth as he licked and sucked my tongue until my only choice was to use his air for survival and cling to him with my hands. His heart skipped a beat when I kissed him back. And when my tongue touched his, I could have sworn I heard his heart stop altogether as blood rushed through his body, hardening against me, making me squirm beneath him with primal need. Mine. I gripped his ass through his jeans, then tried to shove them down. He growled against my neck, his muscles strained as he held himself above me. His eyes went so light blue I could almost see my reflection in them. I squeezed him with my hands, pressing another kiss to his open mouth, cutting his lip on my fang. He jerked back and then shuddered as what looked like an orgasm ran through his body, and then I felt it, what he was feeling. This insane need to feed. Slowly I turned my head to the side and moved my hair.
Damn it, Serenity.
Take it, I begged. Take me. His breathing slowed and then his hand was on my neck, more claw than fingers. I wasn't afraid. His eyes flicked from black to blue over and over again as he watched me move beneath him. A war raged inside my mate's body. Let me set you free, I pleaded. He let out a roar so ear-piercing that the house shook with it. I almost looked away, but then remembered Cassius's words as Mason's fangs descended like sharp swords coming from his mouth. They were longer than mine, menacing. I waited for him to strike, to take. He didn't. He watched me watch him. I tried my best not to blink, to show him I wasn't afraid, to be worthy of both man and beast. His length strained against my thigh and I moved beneath him. His eyes were crazed as he lowered his head between my legs and nuzzled, as if he was going to take a really arousing nap. My thighs clenched while he ran his nose along every bare inch of me, his tongue outlining and pulsing with increased movements. He kept his claw on my neck, making it impossible to move. He trailed slow, dangerous circles with his tongue, only to stop as my body pleaded for release. I tried to move with him, but every time I did, he would stop what he was doing. Since I needed him to keep going, since it felt like my life depended on his touch, his every lick, I closed my eyes and let the rapture of his mouth fill my body. His appetite seemed to only increase the more my body gave way as hot waves of pleasure shot through my core. The process would repeat as he licked me up again and again. With a hungry growl, he feasted and then stopped as a pinch of pain hit my inner thigh. The world stilled. Silence. His heavy breathing, my stuttered heart, the claw holding me still dug into my flesh. I whimpered at the contact and felt his tongue lick the wound dry before he returned his attention to me. My mouth. My neck. His eyes darted from my skin to my lips as if he wasn't sure which he should taste first, as if it was the hardest choice he'd ever made in his entire life. The struggle was still there, but I could see logic return to his expression as he tried to calm himself down. But I didn't want him calm. That wasn't Mason. Mason was all beast. I wanted him to know that I wanted both beast and man. How could I not? I met his gaze and then pushed his claw into my neck, piercing my own flesh enough for blood to trail down my white skin. and realized too late that I'd just unleashed the beast and thrown away the key.
Chapter 21 Mason. I'd stripped her millions of times in my mind. Nothing was as good as this feeling, this taste. Like spending an eternity eating pine cones and suddenly having a dozen chocolate cookies spread out for me to feast on. I feasted on her. I let my tongue eat her as if she was my meal. And when I felt her blood soar, muscles clench, body react, my beast was satiated for seconds before it needed to feed again. Each wave came harder and faster, my own body aching with the need to join her. But I'd been starving, living a life in the desert. I'd been brought to a palace. I wanted to feel everything. My fangs pricked her inner thigh, and as blood coated my fang, I swallowed on instinct and felt a roaring in my chest that sounded like thousands of years of oppression. Millennia of being shut out, lost to the world, sleeping. I opened my eyes and saw it all, the way her heart sang to me. Turning back now would have been impossible. I would rather have died. Her half-lidded gaze locked on mine before she clung to my feral hand and slit part of her throat open, opened her vein to the beast. Without thinking of the consequences, I threw my head back and roared as her blood ran down her neck and across her collarbone. With a growl, I struck at the vein and sucked. It wasn't enough. Warm blood coated my dry mouth as my body lit up from the inside out, as if I'd never truly been alive until this point. She bucked against my body, rubbing her sex against me like she needed it just as much as I did. I pulled back long enough to flip her onto her stomach, and then my teeth were at her neck again, sucking, licking, devouring every inch of blood she offered, knowing I would never be the same. I would never come back from this craving, this lust. She thrust her ass against me as I drank deeper. Her arm came up behind her to cradle my head tenderly, her body moving back against mine. Claim, 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 her blood chanted. Thunder boomed in the distance. With shaking hands, I gripped her hips and pulled her back onto me, sliding all the way in, staying there, never leaving again. Home. Her scream was one of ecstasy. My grip was one of power as I claimed my mate, as I made her mine while she moved with me. Enough, a voice whispered. I pulled my mouth away from her, only to have her latch onto my wrist as I continued my steady thrusts. The feel of her teeth against my flesh was too much at once, to know she was mine. To know she wanted me. She wanted my taste, my blood to soar in her veins. I found my release quickly, and her head fell back against my chest as blood dripped from her mouth. And slowly, her heartbeat stilled and matched mine. An invisible thread appeared in my mind, between us, never to be severed, and I could have sworn I heard angels singing. I heard creation in her heartbeat. I tasted it on my tongue. And when I licked her wound closed on her neck, I cradled her face and gasped as her eyes lit up with blue, just like mine. They were wide, her eyes. They were also afraid.
Chapter 22 Serenity. Don't look away. Don't look away. My body was still buzzing with his presence. I felt him everywhere, tasted even more. But the man I was looking at, I wanted to look away from, because I saw death in his eyes. I also saw life, I saw things he shouldn't have been. I saw things that were impossible to see. I saw my own shame. I saw my faults. I saw everything that made me a bad vampire, a bad person. I saw histories and deaths. I saw diseases, destruction. I saw war. Trust. I needed to trust Cassius. But I had a bad feeling that I hadn't just mated with Mason, but a fallen.
Chapter 23. Mason. The aftermath. The awareness of her body was like a balm to my heart. It was also the only reason I wasn't yelling at the top of my lungs. The only reason I wasn't cursing Cassius into the abyss. Other. My. Ass. I was no more other than Cassius was honest. I gave my head a shake. I wanted to be wrong. But I saw her face. It was not the face of trust. It was the face of fear. Serenity. Even my voice sounded different to my own ears. Everything had heightened from the way the air shifted and shaped words into existence, to the power I felt at even uttering them. Ultimate power. I craved it like I craved her.
Mason?
She said my name like a question. Yes. I answered the only way I knew how, as confusion filled my head, my heart.
Do you know what's going on?
I shook my head. I know you're mine. That is what I know. The house shook with my statement, and I could hear the very earth roar to life, as if it was waiting for me to create, to call something into existence. I didn't feel evil, but I felt evil all around me, tempting me, telling me to give in so that I could be free. Serenity took a deep breath and pressed her hands onto my shoulders.
We need Cassius.
Why? I tilted my head. The motion felt funny, but I just drunk my body weight in blood. Wolves didn't do that. Very slowly, Serenity dipped her hands into my hair and tugged it forward. I almost vomited all over the bed when I saw the locks in her shaking hands. Black and red.
Chapter 24. Serenity. He sounded like Mason. My heart recognized his heartbeat. What I was seeing was impossible. And yet I just mated with a werewolf. As a vampire, I could suspend disbelief to an extent. Mason kept looking at his hair, then he jumped from the bed to look in the mirror in all his naked glory. I tried not to stare. It was next to impossible. He was perfectly formed, like a sculpture you see in a museum. Every ounce of tissue on his body was sinewy muscle, rock hard, from his tree trunk legs to his flat abs. Scars marred his back, scars that I'd never seen before. Black hair ran down to the middle of his spine. Red sliced through the black on either side, creating highlights brought on by blood. Slowly, I stood and wrapped a sheet around my body. The minute I approached, he tugged the sheet down and looked his fill, his eyes achingly slow as they drank my body in.
"I want you again," he whispered. "But..."
"Take me." I was his and he was mine, no matter what color his hair, his skin. He grinned.
"I like your thoughts. They make me think this is just an odd coincidence of a werewolf and vampire mating."
I gulped. I wish that were the case, but...
"But then I wouldn't know how to make that tree die out there."
He nodded toward the window.
"I wouldn't know the exact phrase to use to speak to the grass so it grows. I wouldn't know those things, no."
He was easily over a foot taller than I, and I reached up and touched the scars on his back, only to stutter back when a black feather suddenly appeared and fell to the ground at my feet. The minute I touched it, it disintegrated into ash. Mason swore and then shoved me behind him so hard I almost collided with the mirror. "What is it?" I whispered. He shook his head in disbelief.
Well, it looks like I won't need to go hunting for them.
Them?
Watchers,
he whispered, and then uttered deep in his throat a scratchy,
My brothers.
Chapter 25 Mason. My jeans barely fit over my massive body. The minute I put on my old shirt, it ripped across my chest like a bad superhero movie. I was used to being shirtless, but this felt different, as if I was standing on holy ground and would get struck down for not having enough clothing on. Serenity gave me a terrified look before quickly redressing. I wanted to take her fear, all of it, and make it go away. But when I was the very thing she had been taught to fear, like every immortal out there, what then? It was a mistake. It had to be. I felt my wolf growl within. I was still a wolf. I was still me. And yet, I wasn't. I didn't know how to process what was happening to my body, as my thoughts went a million miles a minute, only to focus once more on Serenity. I protect what's mine. A knock sounded at the door. I was more worried that they were knocking than if they just appeared out of nowhere. I gripped Serenity's hand and walked down the stairs to the front door, then jerked it open too hard, causing it to come off the hinges. Hell. Ethan was going to be pissed. Gadriel, the man said. The name that fell from his lips was the same one that one of the watchers had said to me during the car accident, as if I had someone or something trapped inside of me, and he'd been waiting for me to set it free. I shivered and kept Serenity behind me as I stared him down, waiting for something, anything. My hesitation was short-lived when his name was pushed into my brain like someone had shoved a giant object past my eyes. That read, Armoros. I gulped and then whispered, Armoros, testing the way it sounded in the air. His lips parted, and then he hung his head as if he'd been waiting a million years to hear his name released into the universe. He raised his eyes and tilted his head in a predatory way as the men behind him watched, waiting, it seemed, for him to move, to do something. Do you remember? I didn't want to remember. I didn't want to know. My wolf cried out. No, it would hurt too much. My body had already suffered greatly. My mind was just barely hanging on by a thread. I'd lived thousands of years alone. I'd lost. I wasn't sure I could handle someone else's memories. The memories of what it would feel like to be one with creation. Then the feeling of it being ripped from my very hands. I don't want to, I said honestly. You. He lifted his hand as his eyes flashed silver. Have no choice. The minute his palm pressed against my forehead, a chill washed over my body, and then I was on a mountain in the bitter cold, frost coating my lips, as my heart slowed to a normal rhythm. I watched. I was one who watched. I watched the humans. I protected the mountain. My job was to watch. A war broke out. No! A woman screamed. Help us! She looked to the mountain, to us, her protectors, but it was not our job to intervene. And then, a flinch. The howling of a wolf was our only warning, and then a second, followed by several more. Do not do this. The Creator will never forgive you. A decision. My body shook as one of us, Sariel, took a step forward, setting his eyes upon the children being thrown into the fire by the enemy. We must stop this. Our job is to watch,
another brother said. And watch we will. I found myself taking a step forward. Armoros put his hand on my shoulder. The howling intensified. And slowly, one by one, my brothers and I began charging down the mountain. We slaughtered them all. The enemy's blood coated my sword and gold breastplate. I felt nothing but anger, resentment. I felt, and I had never felt before. I did not know how to deal with this emotion filling my lungs, making it hard to breathe. And as I walked back to my spot on the mountain, I knew our lives were never going to be the same. For we'd taken our eyes off our purpose, and there would be hell to pay for it. Sariel was the last. I watched him talk to a woman. I watched him touch her. I shuddered, wondering what that touch would feel like. Would it be warm? Cold? I looked away. We all turned a blind eye. I could feel Bannock's rage on the other side of me, but it wasn't one of war. It was jealousy. He had his eye on the woman like she held the world's secrets. No, things would never be the same again. And days later, when Sariel slept with the woman, when they produced the world's first Dark One, we were punished. I cried out as lightning split the sky in two, as black snow began to fall across my face, as the Creator once and for all looked upon us, and then turned away. And his turn caused darkness to descend like a choking blanket around each and every one of us. I ripped at my armor, pried it from my body so I could breathe. "He's gone." Armoros fell to his knees. "The Creator has left us." "Our punishment was not as severe as it should have been," I whispered. I watched as Bannock took to the skies, his white wings carrying him higher and higher to the heavens, until he started to fall. I gasped in horror as his body increased speed, then hit the ground with earthquake-like severity. And when I ran over to him to help, all I saw was black, broken wings, and red in his hair, as if his defiance had caused the Creator to mark him for death. "There is only one thing we can do," Armoros said, turning away. "We earn our way back, whatever it takes. Guard the human plane as the Creator has asked. We must be vigilant and watching. We must not look away." Bannock stood and shouted at the heavens. Then he fell to his knees again and cursed the Creator to the abyss. "It may be too late for some of us," I whispered. The vision shifted, and suddenly I was in a small hut with Armoros, staring me down like I'd done something unforgivable. Maybe I had. 1,000 years had passed, and still no word from the Creator. Not even when I'd built altars for him, when I'd praised his land, when I'd built up forests with my bare hands, made trees sing his name. I'd hunted with the wolves, helped them feed their young, interacted with the Alpha as if he was my own kind. They were favored among the Creator, built from his very hands, their flesh kneaded by the very trees and dirt they protected. The protectors of Earth. I honored them, and he still refused to honor me back. I may as well be dead. I took a seat opposite Armoros. His eyes narrowed, and then he flinched. "What have you done, brother?" "Nothing that can be undone." I shrugged, and took a seat as Bannock waltzed in with a victorious smirk, like I'd actually given in to his evil ways. Armoros shifted his attention back to me. "Do not listen to him." "So, I should listen to you?" I yelled. It was all for show. It always was when it came to Bannock. But he didn't need to know that. Only Armoros truly knew me. Knew my sole desire to create, not destroy. "I have everything I need here." "Yes," Armuro sighed. We rule dust and destruction. How lovely for us, and how benevolent of him. Right, Bannock?
Bannock slammed his hand onto the table between us.
Don't you see? We will be here suffering for millennia.
Our job is to guard the human planes, Armuro said carefully. If we do our job, the Creator will honor us.
He'd been saying the same damn thing since the dawn of time. And still, silence. Heavens above, I was disgusted with silence.
The Creator doesn't even answer your song anymore, Armuros. Most favored. Do you think for one second he would return the rest of us?
Bannock snapped. Armuros looked away. I felt shame wash over me. What I'd done was wrong. I'd prayed in that moment, as the blade had pierced my heart, for the Creator to take me home. I'd wanted to die. I'd tried everything but the forbidden way to help take my own life. To give life, as was the Creator's only job. I'd taken his job in hopes he would look my way. He would see that I was committing the ultimate sin. But it had actually worked. I had not died, and the boy would grow strong. And for that, I would have some peace, at least during my miserable existence.
One day, Bannock charged off. One day, you'll see.
Armuro shared a look with me, and then whispered,
Let me see your chest.
I flinched with pain. Why was I in pain? I'd never felt pain before, but I knew that was what this was, this feeling. I dropped to my knees, as silver blood began spewing from the wound on my chest. Armuros caught me before I hit the ground. Light filled the room, and my shame grew with every passing second.
I know what you've done.
The voice was gentle. It wasn't booming. It held no judgment, just truth. I closed my eyes.
Open,
the voice commanded. A small boy stood before me, his face glowing with light. I reached for his hand. He took a step and then allowed me to feel him, to feel his warmth.
Bannock means this for evil, what you have done.
He grinned.
But I am the Creator, am I not? I see all, know all. I let my children choose.
Yes, I croaked. You are. You do.
Armuro shook beside me. It was the only logical reaction to something so good, so fiercely terrifying. Even angels shuddered in his presence. Had I still had my wings, they would be dripping with blood, in pain at his beauty.
So, you may choose now.
He put a hand on my shoulder.
You can stay with your brothers here, guarding the plains, or you can die. Your soul will be united with mine, but your body will be forfeited to another. Never again will you walk with your brothers on this plain. Never again will you watch, but you will be whole.
It was the final thread. He would sever the final link between me and my brothers. The only thing that kept us sane was each other and our Creator. And now he was offering me him, but without them. How could I choose?
Why? I shook my head. Why would you gift me with this after what I've done?
His smile was blinding.
Because my plan is much bigger than you.
Tears filled Armros's eyes.
Go, brother. Go.
But, I shook my head. Those who watch. We all have a human plane to watch. It is our duty. Our punishment. I cannot part from you.
Armuros stood tall.
I will watch for you.
Tears filled my eyes. I knew the toll I was asking him to endure, just so my soul could return.
the pain my brothers would suffer when my consciousness was taken from the fold. It would be an empty hole in their hearts for the rest of their lives. Go, he said it again, urged me. I looked to the Creator and gave him a single nod and felt nothing but peace. You will see him again, the Creator whispered in the air. But he will not be the same. He will need to make a choice, just like the rest of you. But the Immortal is powerful. He is a great wolf, a warrior. He will do Gadriel proud.
Armoros nodded, and the vision faded. I stumbled backward, as Armoros's eyes returned to a pale blue, and then he held out his hand and pressed it against my shoulder.
Welcome home, brother.
I collapsed at his feet and howled.
Chapter 26. Serenity. I reached for Mason, but Armoros stopped me and gave his head a slight shake.
He may hurt you.
He, I pointed down at a shaking Mason, is my mate. Armoros stumbled back and shook his dark hair. Pieces of red lit up the tips.
That is impossible. You're a...
He made a disgusted face like I was beneath him.
A vampire.
Thank you. I wasn't aware, I said sarcastically.
No,
Armoros whispered.
You don't understand. What you are saying is... it is impossible.
He knelt by Mason and then offered him a hand. Each of the men were huge, from their black and red hair to the worn jeans and shirts that looked way too small on them. Jackets covered their muscles and tattoos lined their arms. The tattoos that peeked out from Armoros' arms were angelic markings in an ancient tongue few understood or dared speak aloud for fear they would be struck dead.
I love her,
Mason's gruff voice sounded.
She is my mate. She is the reason this happened to me.
He gripped his hair and looked down at his massive body as if it wasn't incredible. A gift from the Creator for sure. He had been beautiful before. His eyes had always held a certain fierceness, a deep-rooted sadness. But now? Now he looked glorious.
Angels do not mate with humans or immortals,
Armoros said in a deadpan voice.
What you have done will get you killed.
A sudden chill filled the air as Stephanie stepped through the giant men and winked. Maybe tell that to Cassius, then. And like a bomb hitting the ground, Cassius landed between them in perfect movie star fashion, his purple wings spread wide, nearly taking out a few of the men before he tucked them back and stood.
Cassius,
Armoros spat. Saved your ass, Stephanie said through clenched teeth. Or is your memory that crappy? If it hadn't been for us, all of you would still be chained to a damn wall getting bled to death by your brother.
Do you think this is any better? Armoros shouted. We have no purpose. We wander the earth as prisoners still. There may not be a wall, but my friend, I am still very much chained.
Cassius sighed and shared a look with Mason before addressing Armoros.
The balance between creation and the humans must be restored. Every second of the day you choose to wander instead of returning to the plains you guarded is another day of chaos. Earthquakes, hurricanes, death, destruction. The universe is not balanced.
Cassius's voice shook the house.
And that is on you.
We,
Armoros sneered,
do not report to the Creator anymore. Or have you forgotten the way that he has?
He never forgets.
Cassius whispers.
It's how he forces us to learn. For thousands of years? Not my fault, you're stubborn.
Armoros looked ready to kill him.
You could try,
Cassius said through clenched teeth.
What promise can you give us that the Creator will return us to our rightful place?
He asked calmly.
I can't.
Cassius shrugged.
It's called faith.
Armoros moved like he'd been struck, while the rest of the brothers began whispering amongst themselves.
By all means, take your time, Cassius said under his breath.
Armora shared a look with Mason that looked skeptical. It held a challenge.
The wolf has Gadriel's body. He has his memories. He does not have his personality.
Thank you, Mason grumbled.
I wasn't complimenting you.
Armaris lifted a shoulder blade while Mason looked ready to rip his head off.
It has been since the beginning of time that the angels have united with immortals without war, without evil.
Yes,
Cassius agreed, his eyes searching Armaris.
You're correct. A truce between all of us.
He looked to Mason.
But I want a link to the wolves.
Mason's eyes widened as if he'd just asked for his head.
But that's...
Cassius held up his hand.
You want the connection to the heavens they provide?
A single nod.
I want the music. I want the taste of the words on my tongue. Link us to the wolves and we'll return to our planes.
Cassius sighed and looked straight at Mason.
You'll have to ask their rightful king.
And then Cassius did the strangest thing I'd ever seen an angel do. He took a knee right in front of Mason and held his hands high. Mason jerked back against me as if he wasn't ready. Words like, undeserving. The Creator will not communicate with me. I can't do this. Lost my mate. Lost everything. Lost everything, can't lose her too. I gripped his hand and squeezed. And slowly, one by one, the watchers bent a knee in the same way. Why are they bowing? I whispered. Mason sighed.
Because the only way for them to honor the Creator without the link to the heavens is to do it through the one who was created by the palm of his hands.
Chapter 27 Mason The Watchers, my brothers, Gadriel's brothers, they all left. I watched the fire crackle and spit, while Serenity made me another batch of cookies. I could feel her anxiety through that invisible thread that mating created. She needed to do something. And she understood nothing. Vampires weren't often told about the werewolf's origin. It wasn't their typical bedtime story. If it had been, they'd feel inferior, and wolves always kept to themselves. Every immortal had a purpose. We were capable of supernatural healing as a gift from the Creator. It came directly from him, the power. The smell of cookies filled the living room until my mouth watered, and when she brought me a plate, I couldn't take it fast enough. I was mid-bite when Serenity spoke. What did they mean when they said it was impossible for us to mate? I finished the cookie and swallowed the last of it, then turned to her. Mortal enemies? That's not even true, and you know it. At least she smiled. I pulled her into my lap just as Cassius swept into the room and sat. I gave him a glare that would have sent anyone packing. It only seemed to amuse him more as he stole one of my cookies, popped it in his mouth, and reached for another. I growled. He still took it. He was lucky I liked him and didn't bite his head off. So... Cassius leaned forward. I assume all the puzzle pieces fit now. Serenity blushed bright. I clenched my teeth. Oh, not those. I knew those would, fit. He moved in his seat, as if he were uncomfortable, then smiled. I meant your need for blood. Your need to feed, to taste, to fill. Vampires. I said the word softly. Gave me blood. And because it would never stay within my body and keep me healthy, they used angelic blood to bond it into my body. Enough blood to kill Gadriel. To give me his essence. More or less. Cassius shrugged. Which is why we were so concerned when Bannock was trying to do this again with his brothers. And yet every host kept dying. Every human. Every immortal. Alex would have been strong enough, but he was nothing compared to you. Cassius' face turned grave. You were but a child, a bedden in your mother's arms.
I smiled at his use of Bedan.
He should have died?
Serenity asked.
Adult immortals would have suffered greatly, but the vampire blood mixed with werewolf blood.
He shrugged. Why do you think it is frowned upon for immortals to mate?
Serenity rolled her eyes. Immortals would die off if they tried mating with one another. There are never children.
Cassia stood and gave us a funny look. Oh, but there was one.
What?
I slid the plate away from Cassius. Who? Cassius looked between myself and Serenity, and whispered, Guess.
Chapter 28 Serenity. I jumped to my feet. No, that's impossible. I'm young. I've only been alive 300 years or so. Cassius stared. Mason gripped my hand. No. I shook my head. My father was an immortal. He found my human mother. My voice trailed as Cassius's eyes grew sad. He approached, his wings spread. They quivered and then started to drip with tears.
Are you ready for your truth?
Fear slammed into my chest. I rubbed it away with my hand. No. Cassius grabbed my hand.
You were created for evil.
Mason growled low in his throat.
But what was meant for evil turned out for good.
He released my hand and walked toward the fire.
You'll see your truth in the flame, Serenity, when you're ready.
He disappeared. I squeezed my eyes shut. Mason wrapped a blanket around me, then pulled me up onto the couch.
Movie or flames?
Movie, I said immediately. He turned on The Lion King. Not my first choice. And I could have sworn he thought he was an actual lion. When he saw antelope, he'd move his head like he was getting ready to strike. I didn't miss the few times his claws came out and he pawed the air like he was ready for attack. I pressed my lips together to keep from laughing and lost it when he started to purr. The gravelly sound felt like home. I pressed my head to his chest and giggled more when the vibrations tickled my ear. Still wolf.
Still wolf. He said softly. I'll always be a wolf, even if I do have Gadriel's memories and apparently his knowledge of creation.
Do you think you have his power?
I'm afraid to see, he said simply. But I feel something buzzing beneath my skin, though it could be because my arm fell asleep around a half hour ago from you lying on it.
I jerked away. He smiled and then tugged me closer. I gripped his dark hair with my hands and pulled his mouth down to mine. I kissed his lips, tasting the chocolate still there from all 2 dozen cookies he'd devoured in one sitting. With a moan, he flipped me onto my back and spread his hand wide across my chest, nuzzling my neck with his nose before sucking my bottom lip, his fangs grazing my skin with such tenderness I wanted to cry. He'd driven me crazy with his aggression, and now he was driving me wild with his slow, burning passion. The way he tilted my head at the perfect angle so he could suck my lips and press kisses to my eyelids like they needed attention just as much as my mouth. There wasn't 1 inch of space that he didn't claim. Every kiss was given with tenderness, with care, with this deep-rooted love that I'd never felt before. I thought I'd known love with my parents. Then why did I finally feel whole with him? With this man who'd taken a stranger into his arms and healed her without question. I choked back tears as he nipped at my neck, a slight sting, and then I felt him suck. I groaned as he moaned against my vein, as if it was his favorite place to be, as if I was the home he'd never had until now. His hands gripped my jeans once more, tugging them away until they fell to the floor, and as more clothes joined them in a pile, my body burned for his, so hot for his touch that I couldn't catch my breath.
You're so beautiful.
He cupped my face.
It was my very first thought when I saw you.
You mean underneath all the scratches and dirt? I joked. He didn't smile.
Scratches and dirt can't hide true beauty, Serenity.
My heart squeezed as he dragged his mouth down my collarbone and pressed a kiss to my chest as he cupped my breasts and bit again. I'd never felt such an erotic bite in my entire life. The soft flesh pierced with his fangs. His head moved across my breast. The vision was perfect. He was perfect. He looked up.
I want to watch you this time.
Watch me? I frowned.
I want to take you.
His shirt ripped as he tried to pull it over his head. I laughed at his irritated expression, then stopped laughing altogether when his hips rocked against me, his length pressing close enough that I could feel its heat pulsing, waiting for me.
This way, where I can see your eyes.
Is that not normal?
Not for wolves.
Well, good thing it is for vampires. I laughed as I tugged his mouth down and kissed him with all the desperation I felt in my soul whenever he looked at me like I was the only one who existed in the universe. He pulled back and pierced my lip with a fang.
Good thing I'm both.
Yeah, good thing, I winked as he descended again, this time pressing into my core so deliberately slow that my body shook with the feel of it. Long, even moments he watched, his gaze intense on my response, on my form, as he moved his hand between our bodies. I let out a gasp as he pushed me farther toward the edge, using my expressions to change his speed, his angle, driving me crazy with the way he was able to read my eyes and my body's response to his. I ran a hand down his chest. My gums ached to taste him. He moved his hand across my lips, knocking my fangs on his skin. I sucked in his sweet and smoky blood, my eyes locking on him while he moved inside me, while he claimed me as his again and again. His teeth clenched, and then he was glowing again, his eyes so light blue, and then an icy white like the rest of the watchers I'd seen that day. For one brief second, I saw heaven in his arms. I felt the way his soul longed for it. And then the strangest thing happened. When he looked down at me, his feelings intensified as if his soul recognized that maybe heaven wasn't in the sky, but in his arms.
You.
He held my shaking body.
You're my heaven, a gift from the Creator.
I nodded through my tears. Yours. I want to be yours. Forever. He sealed my vow with a kiss, and I forgot all about Cassius's words as I fell asleep in his arms, my body facing the fire, the warmth hot on my face as his arms wrapped me up from behind. I forgot about the flames. I forgot about it all. Chapter 29 Serenity Darkness. There was only darkness when I opened my eyes. I pulled myself from Mason's body as a chill shook through me. It wasn't normal for me to feel such extreme temperatures. I frowned and looked down at the table, where a thin area of frost lay. I dipped my fingertip in it and squished the ice between my fingertips. It melted against my skin immediately. When I turned around, Mason was still sleeping. A smile crossed his perfect lips as he turned away from me and into the couch. I shivered again and realized I'd need to light a fire if I had any chance of getting the chill out of my bones. Besides, I didn't want Mason waking up cold. Did immortals like him, ones with mixed blood, even get cold? So many questions still bounced around in my head. Mainly, I wondered if he would take his place as king, as the Alpha. And the other part, where I was involved, my parents, all of it. I tried to think of my earliest memory, but it had always been my mother's face as she wept with joy over her new baby. I'd felt such elation that I'd caused her so much happiness that all I felt was contentment in her arms. I quickly shook the thought away and added a few stacks of dry firewood, some newspaper, and then lit. The flare erupted in my face. I jumped back as one flame narrowly missed my cheek and then swirled in front of me again like a whip, out to lash my body with its rage. I scooted back farther. The flame only followed, until my back was against the couch. The fire stretched to my face and touched my cheek with a fiery singe. I couldn't look away as the flames danced before me. They shifted into wolves around a campfire, howling at the moon in celebration. Tears stung my eyes as a tall hooded figure approached, followed by another and another. 12 stood tall with the wolves. The wolves stared right back in their true form, their eyes piercing through the darkness as the hooded figures lowered. I gasped at their jet-black hair and clear blue eyes. They were beautiful, too beautiful to be real. I blinked again as they held their heads high, watching, waiting.
"This."
One of the wolves stepped forward and transformed back into a naked man.
"This is not your realm."
"No." The voice was musical yet strong. "It is not." The wolf glared.
"Then why are you here?"
"What will you do, Protector? Kick us out?"
He fisted his hands and waited, his jaw tightening as the wind blew some of his hair across his dirty forehead. He was massive, at least 7 feet tall, not someone I would want to fight.
"No. We do not kick out friends, no matter how unwelcome they may be at midnight."
The man's lips twitched. The wolf sighed.
"Well, get on with it, Danu. What is it that you need?"
The woman at the man's side stepped forward. "We come to give a warning."
"Lovely."
The wolf hung his head.
"And what would that be?"
Danu hung her head. "I was bribed. His beauty was unlike anything."
"That is enough, sister," the man yelled. "Tell them what you have done."
She lifted her head. "I have birthed a babe." The wolf let out a gruff howl.
"The Creator will punish you."
"The Creator," Danu spat, "already has." She shook her head. "The babe will not stay with me. She will spend her time here on this realm. One day her blood will run in your kin's veins. I ask only this. Protect her. Protect her from the one who might steal her away. A favor is still owed. He will ask it of you." The wolf hesitated, then spoke.
"Who has the babe?"
"She's being shielded under the Vampire King's watch. He is to keep her safe in this life, and your son..." She choked out the words. "Your son will do the rest. She knows nothing of her power, of her shifting abilities. She knows nothing of our world, and because of my sin, she will know only loneliness in yours. Until him..."
"They must mate."
The wolf said it with a shake of his voice.
"Mustn't they?"
"He will be her protector, and she will be his serenity." Danu's voice cracked. "Vow this to me, wolf. Vow it." The alpha walked over to the flames and held his hand high. Danu followed and pressed a hand across his forearm, and as both of their joined hands hit the first flame, it wrapped around their arms like an embrace, searing the blood oath into their skin. "What is meant for evil will be good," they said in unison. "Thank you." A single tear slipped off Danu's face, extinguishing the fire.
"Anything for the goddess of the earth."
The dirt then strained to touch her legs as she walked back toward the group. It swirled around her, beckoned her, wanted nothing but more of the goddess as she stopped and looked up to the sky and whispered, "Guard her well, my creator. Guard her well." A star twinkled and then fell from the sky.
"A creator's promise,"
the alpha whispered. "He is fair," Danu nodded. "He is good." They retreated into the forest and with a flash of light disappeared. I watched the smoke until my eyes hurt, then sleepily rubbed them and collapsed back against the couch.
Chapter 30. Mason. I jolted awake to see my mate covered in ash from head to toe, her eyes blinking, but not really seeing. "Serenity." She shook her head, and then looked at me as if with new eyes.
"Your father, he was very tall?"
Odd question, but around 7 feet. "Why?"
"Do you have pictures of him?"
I brushed some ash from her cheek. "Is there a reason you're asking about my father after having sex? Is this a vampire thing? You need to know I have good breeding stock as a wolf. I know I can..." She smiled and pressed a hand to my face.
I was embarrassed as I felt my chest rise and fall, like it was puffing up with each word that fell from my mouth. Stop. It's not that.